I got into this race because I didn't believe either Kay Hutchison or Rick Perry were representing Texans. I thought that their interest had gotten to lobbyists and other, I guess, corporate sorts of interest. I didn't feel like they were governing from a conservative individual liberty perspective, saw them answering all of the problems that came across their desk with big government solutions, big government ideas, and that is not the limited conservative government that most Republicans envision or want or need, and so I'm in fighting for the average Texan on those principles and ideas that have been historically the basis of the Republican Party platform.
In Politics, the political blog in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram back on December 7th, they quoted you as saying, "I hope you will look at my candidacy with a new set of lenses this evening," said you told the North Tarrant Republican Club, and this was because Bill White had entered the race as in the Democrat side. The question we should be asking now is not whether Rick Perry can win the primary, it's whether he can win in November, which I don't think he can. And that brings up this question that is of interest to a lot of folks in the party, and that is, if you run through this election and are not the nominee of the Republican Party, will you wholeheartedly endorse and support the party's nominee, or is there some threat at some type of outside movement there?
I've said that I think it's premature to be talking about that. We don't know who that nominee will be, and my sights right now are fixed on being that nominee. I'll vote for, as I always do, the most conservative individual in the race when it comes to November.
So in other words, even though we do know that the nominee will be one of three people, Rick Perry, Senator Kay Bailey Hutchison, or yourself, you're not willing to go on the record saying that if you're not the nominee, you would support the party's ticket?
Absolutely not. I think that's what's gotten us into the trouble that we're in. You guys give these incumbents a pass all the time by saying, you know, people just need to hold their nose and vote Republican in November. And I think we've seen time and time again, unless Republicans are going to stand up and walk their talk, they're going to get turned out of office. I wish we'd start turning them out of office in the primary instead of waiting until the general election. But I think the people are speaking pretty loudly. The party leadership and some others tend to not want to listen to the voice of the people. I'm here fighting for the people. So the last thing I'm going to do is say, hold your nose in November. I'm going to fight real hard to be that nominee, and I will vote as I have been for some years for the most conservative candidate.
So the most conservative candidate of the seven Democrats, you believe one of those is more conservative than one of the Republican candidates?
Well, surely you understand that there may be other candidates besides a Republican and a Democrat on the ballot come next November.
Okay, we got it. All right. Well, I've got some other questions for you there. One of the things that is out here, one of your supporters said in a San Antonio Express News column back on December the 20th, and a story entitled GOP Candidate for Governor Knows She's a Long Shot, one of your supporters, and I know they don't speak for you, but said she's the only candidate to firmly stand on the 10th Amendment, and you've also talked about, when you talked to CBS 11 in Dallas on December 10th, you said, my knowledge is knowing and understanding the U.S. and knowing and understanding the U.S. and Texas Constitution. I like what you're saying on all that, but my question is, does Governor Perry not deserve credit for actually being the seated governor in the United States who brought this 10th Amendment issue up, and it just was pilloried in the national and local and in the state press, but actually put this issue? Now, you may say he hasn't done what he said, and you can argue that, and I think that's fine, but doesn't he deserve credit for making this 10th Amendment issue what it is as far as the press?
I absolutely don't think he's made it the issue. I think the Tea Party people have made it the issue. I think that that behavior is exactly what gets us into the problem that we have. It gets us into problems with our elected leadership. It gets us into problems politically, where you have elected officials who go out and throw out words that they have no intention of backing up, that they have no intention of supporting with action. That is, you know, the first, I think, character trait that you look for in people that you do business with, people that you employ, is trustworthiness. If you are not going to do what you say, you don't belong in leadership. And to toy with Texas in that way, to mention the word secession as he did, in some off-the-cuff, backhanded, you know, attempt to gain political popularity is disgusting. He has
so
a job.
What is the governor not? I mean, I don't get this. He fought against taking some of the stimulus dollars. That's generally an issue of the legislature to begin with, and not the governor. But he certainly didn't back down from his 10th Amendment questions and states' rights issue, even though the press was beating him up. I didn't catch him backing away from that. What is it you would do differently as far as the state sovereignty issues go?
We would put teeth into that state sovereignty. You know, the word sovereignty means
how?
There's no authority over us. Texas is sovereign
how?
In all areas except for Article 1, Section 8, powers delegated to the Congress. So every time the EPA steps up with another regulation, Texas ought to nullify and interpose against that regulation. Every time the Department of Education tells us that our school districts are going to have to No Child Left Behind or any other piece of legislation, we ought to fight them in the federal courts. Our legislature ought to be being called upon to pass language that makes those unconstitutional federal actions illegal in the state of Texas. In 9 years, not one time in 9 years in office, 10 years now, I guess, in office, have we seen the governor using the bully pulpit to get the legislature to nullify these unconstitutional federal actions, and not one time has he interposed against. To interpose is to issue an executive order that says, for example, the TCEQ in Texas will not enforce EPA regulations. There's no constitutional authority for that. And if Texas needs to regulate her industries, her ag, her energy sector, then Texas will regulate, but we will not be doing the dirty work of the federal government when it is outside of Article 1, Section 8 authority.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. We're visiting with a candidate for the GOP nomination for Texas Governor, Deborah Medina, who lumped me in a while ago by saying, "You guys tell people to hold their nose at election time." Any listener of West Texas' highest rated talk show knows that's not true, because I spend most of my time beating the hell out of Republicans who are not conservative enough. One little thing I have found out, though, is that there's not any of them, even the greatest, highest-rated, liberty-loving Republican or any officeholder, that I'm going to agree with on every issue all the time. But, Senator, you talked a lot about saying that Governor Perry has not fought back against the feds on these issues by issuing executive orders. Of course, we have a very weak governor in this state, and it's designed that way to keep the governor's office from being very strong. That generally has been looked at as a libertarian-leaning conservative position. You seem to want the governor to stand up, and on some of these issues, I'm in complete agreement with you. But you also wrote a piece that appeared in the Houston Chronicle, or at least they reprinted, questioning Hutchison's credentials on abortion. You wrote, "She has had ample opportunity to support and uphold the U.S. Constitution and has failed. There is no evidence that she'll uphold the Texas Constitution or defend the people of the great state of Texas." Sounds like you're the only one who has the right reading of the Constitution. How do you square all this up?
Well, I think everybody in Texas, or at least everybody I've talked to, and from all the statistical reports that you had, well over 80% of the phone calls going into the Congress in October a year ago, understood that the U.S. Congress had no authority to bail out Wall Street banksters who had made poor investment decisions, and yet the good senator from Texas didn't seem to understand that there was no constitutional authority for that. She was willing to do it because her president asked her to. And we teach our kids, whenever they're in grade school, not to succumb to peer pressure, understand what's right and wrong, understand what the rules are. And certainly Senator Hutchison has been in the Congress long enough to be an expert on the U.S. Constitution. There's no authority there for that, and there's no authority for a lot of what they do. I think that it's important that we don't move the plumb line because people aren't living up to it. We continue. All of us fail. All of us miss the mark. But we have to, you know, be able to be adult enough to say, you know what, I missed the mark, I fell short, I'm aiming for that, that's where I want to be. But when you have people who don't seem to even acknowledge that the mark exists, and I think that's where we are with a lot of our leadership, every time there's a problem, we see government saying, well, I can fix that for you, and most conservatives would acknowledge, most of us in the grassroots would acknowledge, the government can't fix anything. That's not its role. It has a duty to protect life, liberty, and property, to ensure justice, equal opportunity for all, no guarantee of equal outcome, and yet it tries to guarantee equal outcome, and in doing that, has made all of us poorer. And I think that it's time to recognize that. I don't want to be, you know, overly critical of the senator. I think she's highly esteemed in Texas, as has Governor Perry been, but it's time for new leadership. It's time for someone that's got some fight in them that will fight for these things. And I've said time and again, we'll either get out of our living rooms and have this battle at the ballot box and at the courthouse and at the state house, or our children will bleed for the liberties that we have squandered.
I seem to hear you glossing over the fact that Perry fought the legislature and it was very unpopular, even with a lot of these moderate Republicans that want to sell us out on the issue of the unemployment stimulus and other things. You paint with a broad brush that he doesn't stand up against these things, and yet in areas where there was actual specific legislation, in areas where we could fight, the governor did stand up, but you're painting it with the brush that nothing like that's happened.
No, I think we all recognize that he rejected $500 million in a $17 billion stimulus package, but that wasn't...
Well, he also just told us no on the education stuff because it could potentially override our state and local education standards.
Agreed.
Does he not get any credit for that?
That's political campaign posturing. We've been taking money...
When he stands up for Texas, it's purely political. But when you read the Constitution, you're the expert on every issue, and somehow you're going to magically have the power as governor to enforce these things, even if the legislature doesn't want to have anything to do with it. How is that going to equal leadership?
The question is, where was the stiff spine last year and the year before that and the year before that? See, we get a really stiff spine like we did on securing the border just before the last election cycle, and before the hand is back in the pocket after the swearing-in ceremony, he's backing off of that stuff. Now that he's going into a tough election cycle, all of a sudden he's getting tough and conservative. But in the intervening
I've noticed, Ms. Medina, that he's lost
jobs in Texas. We've rejected eminent domain reform. You know, the things that Texans needed.
We rejected a bill that was a gift to trial lawyers to litigate us to death. You told Christy Hopp in the Dallas Morning News reported that you said that you were for getting rid of the property tax, which I agree with, and that you admitted that would mean extending sales tax to services and products such as grocery, food, and other things that aren't taxed.
No, I never
said anything
about
that. And it says in there you recently said you would. It also said you would support the decriminalization of drug use. Is that your position?
I said Texas ought to be deciding about its drug laws, not Washington, D.C., and I think the governor's on record for saying the same thing back in 2001. Texas ought to be deciding that. Christy didn't report what you said very directly,
so that's fine. I didn't know about that. Now, I tell you what, we're almost out of time. I'll tell you what we'll do. Alan, push back 30 seconds, and we'll give Ms. Medina about 30 seconds to a minute here to tell the voters why they ought to vote for her. Go right ahead, Deborah.
Thank you so much. It's time, Texans, that we understood that private property ownership and gun ownership are the essential elements of freedom. We need to understand that for freedom issues, not just fiscal issues, but in the process of restoring true private property ownership in Texas, we must eliminate property tax. We've got to resurrect our state sovereignty so that we have a proper balance between the federal government and the great state of Texas. We must use nullification and interposition, the tools that the founders told us were ours to use to check the over-aggressive reach of the federal government. And we must secure our border to make sure that we are respecting private property along our southern border and to restore a law-abiding, prosperous segment of our state. I look forward to representing you. I'll be in West Texas next week and hope to have an opportunity to shake your hand and say hello.
All right, Deborah Medina, thank you for joining us on Pride on Texas. Best of luck out on the campaign trail. Stay safe. Welcome back to Pride on Texas. Well, it's interesting that The way the press in Texas crucified Tom Craddock for simply being conservative and called him an autocratic. And they've done the same for Governor Perry, not just this last year. I don't know what she's talking about. He continued with all the border initiatives way past, and they've been going on for 4 years or better. But the fact is, somebody who is talking about Constitution, it appears to be running on the imperial governor platform. It appears to me that Deborah Medina thinks the governor ought to be deciding what's legal and not with the stroke of a pen and pushing everybody around and telling them what to do, and she can't do that as governor. But the saddest part of all of this talk is what you heard us lead off with. Deborah Medina is asking you, Republican voters, that makes you a member of the party, you vote in the primary, she's asking you to trust her, but she will not trust you. That's right. Deborah Medina wants you to trust her, but she doesn't trust you. She's not willing to back the candidate you put on the ticket.